Warm the Hockey Podcast. We are back. A few week hiatus for life and some personal things, keeping us busy. I know you are swamped with some renovations at home and everything. We're gonna kick things off this week with a major correction and apology from our last recording. I'll let you take that. Just a correction on, unfortunately, getting a name wrong, which under normal circumstances happens, but given who the person is and was, that's not something to do. So I'll throw it to you for that.
When we stopped last week, something kept bugging me, and we talked about Jonathan Petra and his tragic loss 4 years ago, I think it was. And at the same time of the bus crash in Humboldt, and I kept calling him Jeff. And I have Jeff Petrie crisscrossing with Jonathan Petra, and I just got completely vapor locked on Jeff. And I apologize to Jonathan's mother and his family. It was a very serious discussion, a very serious moment of paying honor and respect to that young man, and to mess his name up, it made me feel terrible. So my deep apologies to everybody for having that incorrectly. And I also was trying to, we were talking about the Anaheim Ducks, and I was talking about McDermott, and I was confusing McDermott with Nick Deslauriers. So when we talked about that incident with Zegras and Terry and the scrap with Jay Beagle, I was talking about how they got rid of Josh Manson and McDermott. I meant Josh Manson and Deslauriers, so they got no muscle left in that lineup. So that was, it was a Nick Deslauriers reference that I had confused. And also to Jonathan Petra, I'm so sorry that I got that wrong. Total apology, and nothing but a complete crisscross of the wires.
Well, Warm the Hockey Podcast, this week we are going to touch playoff matchups. This time we're going to try and keep our word, keep it kind of short this week. Some playoff matchups. I'll let you kick it off, though. I know you had, before we dive into anything, because we do have BCHL, WHL, and NHL to touch on for playoffs.
Okay. All right.
That's why it's good to keep it short, because we've got three different leagues to kind of touch on the playoff matchups. So we dive into it, I'll let you kick it off with some of your goaltending thoughts that you had.
Okay. In an effort to, as I do with everything that I touch, I try to simplify. And we're looking at playoff matchups that are now set, and trying to add and subtract who's legit of the 16 and who just simply isn't. And there are a lot of teams that could upset somebody, a lot of teams that probably aren't going to get upset, but it always, always, always comes down to goaltending. You'll get a surprise from somebody like Niemi in Chicago a few years ago or somebody like that, and somebody's going to win for the first time and surprise everyone. Mostly it's proven goaltending, like Jonathan Quick or someone that's going to step up. But based on goaltending alone, you can subtract Pittsburgh without DeSmith DeSmith will probably be ready, but I just don't think their goaltending is suspect. Washington, you can take out Washington for goaltending. Carolina, without Freddie Anderson, without a healthy Freddie Anderson, subtract Carolina. Dallas's goaltending is unproven. They're not impossible, but that team struggles to survive as it is. And then with Ottinger in goal, I've seen him turn in a couple of good games this year, but I don't see 2 months of stellar play out of him. Nashville, Saros is supposed to be healthy again for the start of the playoffs, but he's made 67 starts this year. He's never started more than about 40 in his career in a year. So riding him for 2 months, no. The one team that may surprise you because they've got two really sturdy goaltenders is Boston. They've got great leadership and they've got two goaltenders, but I'm still going to put Boston in the camp of probably not. Washington, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Dallas, Nashville, Boston, you can subtract LA. They're not ready to compete for a cup yet, even though they do have a goaltender who's proven in Quickie, but I think you can take him off. So that leaves us with Minnesota, who's got two deep in goal, and they got way better at the deadline. Tampa has a proven goaltender as long as he stays healthy. St. Louis has Binnington and Husso, so they could be a factor. Colorado is healthy and two deep in goal. Florida has Bobrovsky and Knight, unproven, but okay. Edmonton now, all of a sudden, Smitty's playing great, and Koskinen, although he had a pretty average year, they've found some magic in the last week or so. Edmonton and Toronto, I would consider to be long shots still, but they don't be shocked because they can both play, and they both got two goaltenders. I like the Rangers, and I like Calgary, although in Calgary, Markstrom has made 63 starts this year. So you really got to look at guys' longevity and have they ever started 60 or 65 games and then gone another 6 weeks of intensity after that? No, they haven't. So advantages here, Colorado, because they've split the workload. Florida is in pretty decent shape. Toronto, Edmonton, the Rangers, they're all teams that you cannot act surprised if they go deep or win. But you know, from the top, I'd say you've got to put Minnesota, Tampa, and St. Louis in that category as well. So that leaves us with about eight that you can really count on. And so that's half the field. Take that for what it's worth. Now it comes down to bounces, staying healthy, just a little puck luck here and there. So
depth is important even at the goaltending position. We no longer live in the world where Brodeur and Waugh can play 74 games and
then go carry you two
and
months.
Then carry a 2 month grind to a Stanley Cup victory. And we just don't have that anymore. And you're seeing it with injuries to Carey Price and different things like that. So teams, obviously goaltending, there's bigger questions with goaltending than workload, but teams that split the workload amongst their goaltenders tend to have in recent years more success than others.
I mean, just happen to think of something.
But the exception being maybe Tampa, who has ridden Vasilevsky pretty well to back-to-back Stanley Cups. So, I mean, yes, it's still possible. So you don't want to write off a team like a Nashville who might ride Saros for 60 some games and then 2 months in the playoffs. But in general, we're no longer in that world. So depth is important.
Vasilevsky's made over 60 starts. I think he's made 62 or so. And you know, behind him, Brian Elliott's got to be at the very, very top of his game in order to compete in the Stanley Cup. So they better hope Vasilevsky stays fresh and healthy enough to go. But when you mentioned depth, not only do you need 14 or 15 forwards and probably 8 or 9 defensemen, but just last year, you saw two pretty legitimate contenders in Toronto and Colorado got three deep in goaltending before it finally caught up with them and they flunked out. Toronto in the first round, Colorado in the second. But it's not uncommon anymore for you to have to dip into your third goaltender. Better keep the bus running.
Worm the Hockey Podcast. This week we're touching on playoff matchups. Facebook and Instagram, Worm the Hockey Podcast, at Worm the Hockey Podcast, respectively. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review, and share. And we are on YouTube as well, so make sure you subscribe there as well. This week we're going to kick it off, playoff matchups, BCHL. They are in their semifinals, so they are pretty deep in their playoffs. And so they're close to the end because, again, we keep reminding it, but BCHL is now standalone, so they are no longer amongst the CJHL, which is all the other provinces. So they're on their own. First round matchups, we kind of already touched on. Albany Valley swept Cowichan. Chilliwack beat Coquitlam. Nanaimo beat Surrey and Langley beat Victoria. And then Langley beat Albany Valley and Nanaimo swept Chilliwack. So those are, that's your Langley and Nanaimo are your semifinal matchup on that side of the bracket. On the other side, Penticton beat Trail, Salmon Arm beat Wenatchee, West Kelowna over Vernon, and Prince George over Cranbrook. Penticton swept Prince George, and West Kelowna walked through Salmon Arm. And so Penticton and West Kelowna are your semifinal matchup on that side. So those are your final four teams there.
It makes it easy for travel, hey?
Yeah, all within this region. Penticton, West Kelowna, just a few kilometers apart, and Langley and Nanaimo. Langley and Nanaimo are, has a little more travel just because of the island and everything.
Yeah, take the ferry.
But, so good hockey there. Easy to touch on with that. WHL is underway as well. They've got I'd have to check the bracket now because I'm sure a few more series are complete. I can even pull it up here while we're talking about it. But they are, what's that?
As of this recording, it looks like
I've got it up here.
Winnipeg's through, Moose Jaw is through, Kamloops is through, Seattle is through. Now you've got Red Deer over the Wheat Kings 3-2 as of right now, and the Everett-Vancouver series is tied 2-2. So four of the six matchups are done.
Everett-Vancouver 2-2. We'll go through it here now that I've got it up. Seattle beat Kelowna 4-1.
Yep.
Kamloops swept Spokane. And Winnipeg and Portland. Sorry, not Winnipeg. Portland swept PG. On the other side, Winnipeg walked through Prince Albert. Moose Jaw over Saskatoon. Edmonton swept Lethbridge, and Red Deer's 3-2 over Brandon. So, yep, so pretty good stuff. They're back to it with fans and everything. So, unfortunately, we're not in a position to watch much of it unless you subscribe and pay to a lot of different things. But
so how you got to tip your cap to Winnipeg, having
back.
Having gone, you know, just they just got that franchise, what, 2 years ago and already through to the semis or the quarters.
Yep.
It's good for them. Same thing happening in Quebec and Ontario.
Yep. OHL, Windsor and Sarnia, London and Kitchener, Flint and Owen Sound, Sioux and Guelph. On the other side, you got Hamilton and Peterborough, North Bay and Ottawa, Kingston and Oshawa, and Mississauga and Barrie. So some good matchups there as well. The only one, the Q, haven't finalized their bracket yet, so their season's not over. But
and everybody is back with fans, right?
I believe so, correct, yep. Everybody's back with fans, at least in some capacity, which is good. And St. John's is your host for the Memorial Cup. So the Sea Dogs will be your host.
St. John Sea Dogs. Okay. St. John, New Brunswick.
Yep.
Never been.
All right. And then as of last night, your NHL bracket is complete. And then this will be the one we touch on here to finish things off. Your number one seed, Calgary, will play Dallas. Edmonton has L.A. Colorado has Nashville. Minnesota has St. Louis on the west side. The east, Florida has Washington. Toronto has Tampa. Carolina and Boston. And New York Rangers and Pittsburgh Penguins. So, number of good first-round matchups like you get every year.
Yeah.
So, some good teams are bound, or not bound, it's guaranteed to be out.
Yep.
Minnesota riding a high. This is kind of their year before the cap kind of makes them have to blow it up a little bit. But they could be out if St. Louis surges or vice versa.
Nashville might be a wild card
team, but they've played solid. They could very well knock out Colorado or vice versa. So you got a number of matchups there that could create some intrigue. But
real hard to call anything an upset right now. Mm-hmm. Real hard. I mean, Boston, Carolina,
we'll touch on each matchup here. And then we can close things out. Okay. Predictions on how you see Florida, Washington falling. Maybe throw in a prediction, a number of games, things like that.
Washington is one that I don't see having the tools to pull an upset. That's just one team that I do not count among it. There's a reason they call it an upset, because nobody saw it coming. But in this case, I don't see Washington pulling the upset. I don't see Pittsburgh pulling the upset.
I have Florida. I'll take Florida in five.
Yeah.
That one. Tampa, Toronto.
Who knows?
The heart screams Toronto, but logic might dictate something else.
Yeah. There's just another gear. There's just an intangible in having won cups, and despite the fatigue that goes with it, Cooper's got those guys playing great. They've got great leadership. They're pretty healthy and sturdy up and down that lineup. I can't see Toronto getting past them. But that is probably as much of a coin flip series as there is.
I'll take Tampa in seven.
Tampa in seven, yeah.
Carolina, Boston.
I like Boston here. I just don't like Carolina's goaltending.
I'll put Boston in seven.
Yeah.
It's hard to ignore Rob Brendamore and how he has that team playing.
For sure.
So if there's ever a chance for an upset in the East, and again, you can't really call it an upset because of the seeding, just simply on seeding. But if there's ever a way for Carolina to do it, it's – Brendamore has them playing Rick Tocchet style. They just go. So based on that, it could happen, but I'll take Boston in seven. Boston seven, New York and Pittsburgh.
Rangers.
I think Pittsburgh's done well. I think Pittsburgh's reached near the end of their rope though.
Yeah. That's based on goaltending. The Rangers are big and strong and deep, and they've got a lot of skill now, and they've done a tremendous job. And again, hats off to Jeff Gorton for doing that rebuild on the fly, and how quickly they went from really in trouble to a legitimate contender. But they're too deep in goal. They're Georgiev and Shesterkin are not to be fiddled with. You can give a guy a night off. I like the Rangers there, and with the goaltending problems in Pittsburgh, I just don't see it happening. Even with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and all of them, don't see it.
Rangers in six for me.
Yep.
Out of those teams, Florida, Tampa, Boston, and the Rangers, who comes out of the East? If we are right on our first round predictions of those teams that move on, who comes out of the East to the Cup final? Florida, Tampa, Boston, New York.
I'm going to go a bit out on a limb here and take the Rangers.
Rangers?
Yep. Based on size and depth and goaltending, it's all the things that we preach all the time. I like the Rangers in the East. And, it's going to – if you want to have a little fun, go on to your – whatever your favorite betting site is and throw some money at the Rangers.
If they continue to produce and compete the way they have – my team out of the East is Florida.
Yep.
Can continue to score and continue to play defensive hockey the way they have all year, they come out of the East for me. They're the team to beat out of the East for me, as non-controversial of a pick as that is, given they're the President's Trophy winners. Yeah. They're the team out of the East for me if they can do what they did in the regular season. Colorado was my team last year as the President's Trophy winners. If they were able to do what they did in the regular season, they weren't. But had they done that, they were my team out of the West. Florida is my prediction this year out of the East for that reason. If they can do it, the way they did in the regular season and be healthy, they come out of the East. That's my prediction.
Well, they should. That's conventional wisdom, and they certainly should. They've got all the tools for it. Bruno's done a great job taking over for Quenneville there mid-season, and they have not missed a beat. And they've got a little of everything. The only thing I question with them is defense. If they are thin on defense, I don't know the status of Aaron Ekblad. Nobody has said yet what happens with Aaron Ekblad. If he comes back in the first round and they can stay fairly healthy, nobody has been able to really handle them all year. If Ekblad doesn't come back and your top pairs are, you're starting to deal, put a lot of minutes on Mackenzie Weegar and people like that, I'm not so sure. Nothing against the kid. This is a 2 month grind of 28 minute nights for the top pair. And that's really, really difficult without Ekblad anyway.
Well, this could be a several hour conversation if we wanted to dive into the pipelines and the depth of each team for the playoffs and everything like that. That's why depth and being able to platoon your lineup a little bit is beneficial in the playoffs. Teams like Colorado, they've got McDermott, who doesn't have to play every game. They've got Cogliano, who's a veteran leader. They've got Eric Johnson, Jack Johnson. They've got these guys who are big bodies, who have experience, who don't have to play every night, but can be there if you need some physicality, if you need that. And save some wear and tear on your Cale Makars and your Bowen Byrams and all that stuff. So if you have that, it's beneficial. That's no way me saying the Avs are Stanley Cup champions before things even start. But if you have that, it is hugely beneficial. And in regards to Florida, I don't know if they have that. Ekblad goes down, and Weegar, like you said, is no slouch. But who do they have outside of Aaron Ekblad on the back end that can really take some of that workload?
If you look at, I know I don't like to say this because everybody who listens knows who our hearts are with, but everybody's got some high-end talent. Everybody does. There's Tarasenko and Kaprizov and Barkov and MacKinnon and Tavares and Matthews. Everybody's got high-end talent. The two teams that have the most strength in the bottom six, or the bottom six plus another three or four in the press box and on any given night, is Toronto and Colorado. They are by far the deepest teams in guys like Pierre Engvall and Cogliano and just on down the line, Wayne Simmonds and McDermott, like we've talked about before. So both of those teams probably have better depth than the Rangers or Florida or Tampa or Minnesota or St. Louis. That depth could easily come into play. It does almost every year. It's nearly impossible to play 2 months with all your guys and stay even reasonably healthy. So if you're going based on depth, I like those teams. If you're going based on two goaltenders that can stand up, I like Toronto and Colorado. First round, though, your depth may not be quite as tested. And that's why I took Tampa over Toronto, because maybe in the first five or six games, you're not going to have the war of attrition that you do after round two and three. So this is why it makes it so fun. People that predict and do bracket challenges and stuff, that's all fun and games, but nobody knows.
Yep. Moving to the West, before we touch on playoff matchups, thoughts on some rumors swirling around about how the league general managers and the league feels about Vegas. I don't know if you read any of the rumors of some GMs holding watch parties to watch Vegas get eliminated from playoff contention and all these things and all this stuff. And I ask you because I know you are an advocate, so long as it's not against the rules, that you do what you have to do. But there is something to be said for how they did things at the expansion draft and how they borderline duped other teams out of these trades and these whatever, and then the league making them exempt from having to give up a player to Seattle, and then all these things. It's kind of created a culture to where they are the villain of the league. And
nobody shed a tear. And you're right. They stayed within the rules, just like Tampa did with Kucherov. Everybody does it. And that's why they unanimously decided to keep it that way as far as the cap in the playoffs and everything is concerned. But and Vegas was within the rules when George McPhee built that team at the expansion draft. It was all perfectly legitimate. There was probably a few backroom things that were done, you know, trading picks to leave somebody alone, but he didn't steal anything. He manipulated the system to his advantage as much as he could. They got a bunch of guys that caught lightning in a bottle, a bunch of second and third line guys that all of a sudden were lights out, like Carlson and guys like that. Then they went out to pick up Petrangelo, and the way they whacked Marc-Andre Fleury and stuff, there, like, nobody's shedding a tear for this team. They had their chance, and I have to believe that right now their chance is gone. And they've got, what are they, $20 million over the cap this summer? They've got, I think they're something like $18 or $20 million over the cap, Evan, and they've only got like 14 guys under contract. The number of players making the league minimum that they had to get rid of just to squeeze Mark Stone back in the lineup for a week and a half. I think it was 7 that they had to cut loose just to make that much room for Stone. I don't know where Jack Eichel's headed, but yeah, to answer your question, no sympathy for Vegas. They have not treated people very well. They had their shot. It was, you know, it was a fun story for a while, but now, welcome back to reality.
Yeah. And again, this and the lack of sympathy is for the organization, not the players.
Oh no, nothing to do.
Players
with
go out and they battled. The goaltending went out 3 games in a row with their season on the line and didn't get any goal support. Like, so the team on the ice battled. The organization, yeah, might have stayed within the rules, but they played fast and loose with relationships and with burning bridges and doing these things with how they operate, and I say operate as in present, because they still do that every year, no matter what their success is. They are, no matter what their cap is, no matter anything, they're in on every high-end, high-priced free agent. And it blows your mind as to how or why they're able to do that.
Right.
So burning the bridges, yes, within the rules, but the manipulation of things, all these things, has created the situation where no other 31 teams has any sympathy for them, that they weren't able to do it. So
they did, starting at the expansion draft up through Mark Stone and Jack Eichel and Marc-Andre Fleury and Petrangelo. Everything they have done has now come home to roost. And watch what has to happen. There's going to be blood on the streets in Vegas this summer because of the contracts they're stuck with, the cap situation they're stuck with, the pipeline that they have somewhat depleted to pick up Petrangelo and Eichel. All of a sudden now, geez, and on top of that, their mojo's ruined. Like, it's just not one of those places like Detroit 20 years ago where Kenny Holland treated everybody so well. Players just couldn't wait to go. They'll take a haircut to play in Detroit because it's such a first-class organization. You're going to have trouble now in Vegas. It's going to be trouble. They've got a lot of talent, but
the least of which they're going to have to. Not the least of which they're going to have to blow it up, given the cap situation.
Yep.
So these guys that you got brought in now are going to go somewhere else. Like, who knows what Eichel will do, but for the sake of argument, Eichel and Marchessault and Petrangelo and these guys are going to go somewhere else because they have no choice. The cap is just, they've strung themselves out with the cap. And now, once you do blow that up, now the real issues are going to show through, because now you have no pipeline. And now you put yourself in a position where your draft picks are second and third round draft picks and fifth round draft picks because you've given up all your firsts and you've done all these things, and now you lose all your stars that you brought in just to be cap compliant, and you have no pipeline. And let's be real, I'm obviously not in any boardroom, but you're going to be hard pressed to get a lot of general managers on the phone to deal with you because of how you, because of how you've handled things and how you've treated other organizations and other people. So Vegas is in a, Vegas backed themselves into a corner from the onset of the expansion draft to have to win a Stanley Cup now, or they're shit out of luck. And now, well, it's kind of proven to be that.
Evan, look, look at the way they handled the Dadonov contract. Dadonov was traded, and then, oops, now there's a whole rule put in, coming into play that people have to disclose, players are going to have to disclose their limited no-move clauses and the teams that they will and won't go to. I mean, that was a debacle. How did that ever happen without somebody realizing that Dadonov was not going to accept that trade?
Yeah.
So, and anyway, they've got real problems coming because they're great role players like Nick Waugh, Carrier, Janmark, Stevenson, Keegan Kolesar. Those guys are coming up for contracts next year. And they're right now they're $12 million over the cap. They used up $10 million in long-term injured reserve. And they're stuck with, they've got one more year with Pacioretty and about four more years with Eichel and Stone. So they've got some real, real hamstrings going there. And Petrangelo just started his six-year deal. Yep. So I have no idea with how they're going to solve this.
Yep. So anyway, touch on the Western Conference side of things, and then we'll close up. Calgary, Dallas, how do you see that one going?
Dallas can't play them. Calgary has looked too good. They're too defensively accountable, and they are built as a playoff team.
Do you give Dallas at least a game?
Yeah, probably Calgary in five. Yeah,
Calgary five. Edmonton, LA.
That's another one. I don't see LA being able to skate with them. It's Edmonton in five, maybe six.
I'll take Edmonton.
In six. LA doesn't have Doughty.
Edmonton in six.
Yeah.
Colorado, Nashville.
This is a tough one. I know that they've been trending the wrong direction. Colorado's been, they finished 1-4-1. Nashville handled them. I think they beat them 3-1 or 4-1 during the season. And Nashville ended on a month hot streak, and Colorado was kind of floundering. Everything resets. There's no such thing as momentum starting at the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. There's nothing that carries over. I don't see Nashville being able to skate with them. I don't see their goaltending being able to hold up. This might go six, but this is a Colorado series.
Colorado in six. That's my take. I'll give Nashville one or two, but Colorado in six. Minnesota, St. Louis.
This is the one like Tampa, Toronto. This is a coin flip. This is a crossbar and a, you know, this is just one of those. I don't see either team dominating the other. I think St. Louis, if I remember right, handled Minnesota pretty well during the regular season. Minnesota is a really formidable team. Playoff pressure and everything. I'd like to take Minnesota and the Rangers in the final. Put some money on it, because I think if it happened, it wouldn't be a horrendous surprise, and the odds would be ridiculously big for those two teams to meet. My heart is kind of with the Blues. I think they're too playoff savvy. Now, do they have the talent to skate with Minnesota? That I don't know. Total coin flip series, and one of those great first round matchups.
St. Louis in seven.
Okay.
I'll call it right there. St. Louis in seven. So your NHL Stanley Cup playoffs 2022, your bracket is set. That begins next week. Schedule's out. That begins next week. Game one's beginning next week. So, and then we are on the home stretch before no more hockey for a little while. Then we get into some interesting off-season stuff, so we're not without something to talk about.
Well, the playoffs run till almost the end of June. Then you've got the draft. You've got free agency. Then you got World Juniors in August. So, you know, there's really not going to be much of an off-season again this year, which is great for people like us. So just so much activity. And then you've got, you know, on top of that, there's already speculation about teams like Vegas rebuilding. Teams like what's Montreal going to do? The resurgence of the Ottawa Senators. Somebody's going to get whacked in the first round of the playoffs. It always happens. And then there's going to be all sorts of drama about coaching changes and roster changes, whether it's Tampa or Toronto or Colorado or whoever it is that were favored going in, maybe the Florida Panthers, and they got donkey kicked. And so now what do we do? It's a fantastic time of year.
Yep. Exciting stuff. So War Room, the hockey podcast, playoff matchups have been discussed, and it begins next week. War Room, the hockey podcast, Facebook and Instagram, War Room, the hockey podcast, at War Room, the hockey podcast, respectfully, audio platforms, video platform, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. Make sure you subscribe, rate and review, share with everybody, and continue to enjoy. You were going to say something before we close?
Just one thing. We didn't, you took Florida in the East. I took the Rangers. And that's, you know, it's kind of a dark horse, fun bet, but who do you like in the West? Is Colorado going to be able to hold up? They certainly, I don't see anybody being able with more speed, more depth, more size, more defensive capability, better goaltending. I don't see anybody in the West. Now it's just a matter of executing.
I'm careful to say this because again, it's no secret where my heart lies. So I'm careful to say this and then have to eat my tongue and eat my words if it goes the other way. But it's hard to ignore Colorado when everybody's healthy. You look at that lineup when everybody's healthy. Landeskog, McKinnon, and Rantanen. Burakovsky, Kadri, and Nichushkin. Lekkonen. Compher, Kubel, Cogliano, O'Connor, Darren Helm, Newhook. I mean, you look at these guys, especially in the bottom six, and McDermott, who can platoon front and back on defense, Makar, Taves, Byram, Manson, Girard, Johnson, McDonald, McDermott. Then you look in net, if healthy and if playing how they've played in the regular season, Kemper and Francois, Anunin, who's just called up to be your third guy going into the playoffs, who's been lights out in Loveland. If with everybody healthy and everybody playing and the team playing how they played in the regular season, whether my heart lies with them or not, I don't care who you are, whether you're Craig frickin' Button and all his wonderful wisdom, or you're it doesn't matter. It's hard to say anybody it comes out of the West but Colorado. If they're healthy and they play how they played and they can continue how their style of play in the playoffs.
So,
and to your point, it 100%. Once everything lines up that way, it 100% is about execution.
Got to execute.
Execute
it. Remember this. They went to the second round last year without Eric Johnson, with a third string goaltender. They didn't have Taves. They didn't have McDermott. They didn't have the tools that they have this year. They didn't have nearly the depth. And for anybody who can remember, who knows what's going to happen when the season's over and free agency starts? The conventional wisdom is they're not going to be able to keep Kadri, but Alex Newhook is a better player at the age of 21 than Kadri was. Mm-hmm. So, and I like both of them. I like Kadri. I like his game. I like his two-way ability. He's had a great year and he deserves to get paid. But if you're looking for a silver lining, at the age of 21, going on 22, Newhook is a better player than Kadri was at that age by a significant margin.
Well, so, again, we talk about how teams are built, drafted, and developed, and everything. You saw a game in Loveland recently, and how they play and how they develop there.
Yeah.
When you draft well and when you do things well, and it goes back to our point about Florida, you can lose somebody in the offseason. And yeah, anything can happen the next year, but for all intents and purposes, you don't lose your championship contendership. You don't lose that window because now Newhook steps in. That's the beauty of that stuff. Now Newhook steps in at a ELC league minimum. And now you're one or two, depending on how you handle it, contracts away from Newhook being in a position where you are now wondering what to do. So you do it right and things can step in like that. So anything can happen in playoffs. Things reset. There's no momentum, but it's hard. I'm hard pressed to say anybody, and common sense and conventional wisdom would say, I don't care who you are, whether you get paid to talk hockey or not, I don't care what you've done in the hockey world. You cannot look at Colorado and say that they do not come out of the West if they play the way you know they're capable of playing with a healthy lineup.
Yep.
It's you can't ignore it. Now, do they execute and do they perform that way? We'll have to see. But heading into the playoffs on paper, Colorado comes out of the West, and arguably Colorado is 2022 Stanley Cup champions based on what they did in the regular season, based on the lineup they have, based on how they can and are capable of executing.
Yep.
Now, do they live up to that? Remains to be seen, but that's how it is going in. So,
Here's with all that said, if you want to have some fun, maybe make a couple of shekels on the side, take Minnesota and the Rangers to go to the final. My heart says Toronto-Colorado final. My brain says probably Colorado and the Rangers, or, you know, I suppose it could hold serve and be Colorado-Florida or Colorado-Tampa. But there's upsets waiting. There's problems waiting. And unfortunately, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get a bad bounce. And it's just the way it happens. And that's what makes this time of year the greatest. So enjoy.
Well, we touched on the social media platforms and everything. Worm the Hockey Podcast. Thanks for joining on Zoom this week. Appreciate it.
I'm Evan Rowe. See you again.
Yes. I'm Evan Rowe with Worm the Hockey Podcast, and we'll see you all throughout the hockey community. Cheers.
Cheers.